Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Thanks for listening. Rapid City Community Conversations is a volunteer organization. Their mission is to bring citizens together around the concept of designing a new social framework for Rapid City. Chaz Jewett joins us today from Sturgis. Chaz, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hey, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with Rapid City Community Conversations as an organization. How did it begin? How long has it been going?
Well, you know, our first meeting was in February. In Rapid City, there was a diverse group of tribal leaders that got together, and it was a few weeks after the shooting of Alan Locke here in Rapid City. A week after the American Horse incident, a day or two after the Rapid City Journal asked if those kids didn't deserve to get that beer thrown on them because they didn't stand for the national anthem. So we had a meeting on Tuesday, I think it was a Tuesday, and we got together and talked about what could we do as a community, as a people, to protect our children from this thing called racism, I guess, institutional racism, or to deal with the situation that we were there. It was a very humbling kind of meeting. There's no clear answers for these problems. A guy with the Barbara Schneider Foundation from Rosebud, Lemoyne LaPointe, called the meeting and wanted to talk about doing things in a different way. And as a community member, I went there and we all sort of decided that we've done everything else. We protested. We've done all. Done what we could in that sense. We've even rioted in the 70s in Custer. There was riots here, and we got to figure out a different way to do things. And so Lemoyne said, let's come together and talk as a community and see what we can come up with. And so we held the first meeting there in February. At the end of February, we had over 100 people there. Folks from women's groups, white women's groups, I guess. I don't know if they're not necessarily all white. But women's groups. There was white women that I've been working with for 15 years, sitting down with folks from the AIM movement. It was a spectacular meeting. Had over 100 people there, half Indian people, half white people, and we've been meeting since then. I think we've had 9 conversations thus far.
So let's go back and elaborate on a couple of the incidents you're talking about, in case our listeners aren't familiar. American Horse incident, you said. National anthem. Go ahead and give us a brief overview of that situation.
Sure. There an incident happened at the civic centers during a hockey game, and words and beer were thrown, and racial bullying has been happening, and it happened to those kids that were here, on an incentive trip from Pine Ridge, so that happened, and then the Rapid City Journal wrote a headline about whether that they kind of deserved it for not standing, and even though they answered that question later on in the article, they still put that as the headline. Mm-hmm. I think was pretty amazing, the journalist, example of institutional racism in the media. So.
And a shooting. Go ahead and elaborate on that a little bit.
Alan Locke was a domestic. There was a domestic violence incident at his home. He was shot in his kitchen. Another Lakota man in crisis that ends up dead at the hands of the police department here. It's the first political act I ever had when I moved to Rapid City was for another man who had been shot. Wanted to commit suicide, and the cops helped him out. I ran toward them, and that happened too. Our Lakota men in crisis should not be ending up dead. I think, and so that that's what happened there. Alan Locke, that was in December. So.
First meeting, more than 100 people. How do you encourage 100 people to show up for a meeting of basically a new kind of conversation when, like you said, other things have been tried? How did you get those people in the seats?
I don't know. And, that's the thing about this is that, I don't know how the people keep showing up. They just do. I've been organizing for 20 years or 15 years, I guess, now, and never in my life have I done something that's so easy and so hard at the same time. So easy that, that people keep showing up and, more new people keep coming and getting involved in the conversation every meeting. and the hardest because, you know, it's talking about racism, and that's real difficult. So,
and with 100 different opinions, I'm sure, in one room. Take me into that room and tell me what kind of things are talked about. How do you keep it? How do you keep that conversation on track?
Well, you know, we talked about what the folks earlier in the conversation. We want to create a community where there's opportunity for everyone. What does that look like? You know, and we've been going from that, and you know, the problems, we know what they are. Some people can articulate them better, but the solutions are harder to talk about and easier to talk about, I guess. You know what I mean? I mean, if we stay in the solutions, then we're not in the problems, and the problems are you know, we can't solve anything being in the same, you know, mindset that we are when they occur, right? We gotta think about things in a different way, and that's what we've been doing. And I think, you know, these are real difficult things to talk about. So we have to make a space where folks can make mistakes, and we've been able to do that, you know, for the last year, and it's transformative, and things are really. I mean, I feel hopeful for the first time about local stuff. This whole time I've been organizing, right? 15 years, so it's exciting.
So when you say moving from the problems to solution, how is that mindset different? Can you be more specific about that? The mindset of being in a problem versus the mindset of being in a solution.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that we all sort of understand the problem in different layers, right? So you're in a different room with people with different backgrounds, different educational backgrounds, different, you know, mindsets, the way they're brought up. So if we stay where we're at in the things that we disagree on, you know, we can stay there the whole time. And, you know, in the meeting, I've been to so many meetings in my life where that's what we do. We stay in the problem. But, you know, if we talk about what community we want to live in, you know, what does it look like? And that's what we did. We got to know each other a little bit in the course of those meetings. There was a pattern that we followed. We got to know each other. We dreamt together about, you know, what does that community look like? Does it have, you know, buses? Does it have better bike paths? Does it have, you know, all those kinds of, I mean, we just dreamed as high as we could.
Sure.
And so that's the community we're looking, you know, trying to create. That dream community where everyone had opportunity and, it's not to forget about the past either, you know, and that's the difficult part of this. Today is the anniversary of Wounded Knee, you know, so these things are very, you know, 125 years ago there was a massacre that ended things, that ended the war between us, but it ended it pretty finitely, and I don't think it's ever, solved the problems, right? I mean, it stopped the violence. And we're still, you know, in the same kind of situation, we were in the beginning in a lot of ways, right?
So give me an idea of some of the things that you're hearing coming out of those conversations about what that dream community looks like. What does the future look like? What are the hopes, dreams, desires that you're hearing from those rather significant gatherings?
Well, you know, there's different things. I think that one of the things that we're doing with our healing and transformation team is planning a run together. You know, we have to get to know each other here in this community. We've been living in a segregated place for a long time. And so, you know, for us, we have to build that trust. You know, it's going to take a long time for us to do these things. We still have people, you know, showing up, but this is going to be a long conversation. So, you know, we're working on things together. We're getting to know each other. We're planning a four-direction 5K in June so we can, you know, come from all the different directions together and really create a community together for the first time. I mean, I don't think we've ever done that. So,
are you modeling these conversations off of anything else? Do you have connections in other parts of the country where people are doing something similar?
Well, not necessarily, but, you know, and I was thinking, in the course of this year, I've met a bunch of folks through different ways of bearing witness, peacemakers, the Zen peacemakers, and the folks at the Barbara Snyder Foundation are in Minneapolis, and Lemoyne's from here, but, we're connected with those guys, and just recently I got an opportunity to meet some folks with the Black Lives Matter movement and at a thing in California. So, you know, I think that we're having a conversation nationally about these issues. And, you know, here in Rapid City, we're violence is all over the country. I mean, how many places have ended up in violence this year, which is so horrible. You know, I mean, I mean, violence is never the answer. So what we've been doing is, you know, we think, I guess, you know, the answer to violence is conversation. So we're continuing to have that here in Rapid, I guess.
So I'd like to go back to something that you said about conversation and allowing people to make mistakes. How do you live that out in your community conversations? Does that mean people can come and you know, say a stupid thing, ask a stupid question?
Sure. You know, I mean, I was raised that no question is stupid, and you know, we only know what we know when we know it. I mean, I think that you know, we have to be able to, on both sides, you know, make a lot of you know, be compassionate, like, you know, with each other, and, you know, try to figure out our perspectives. You know, we've all, you know, gotten what we've gotten, you know, for a variety of different reasons. You know, colonization is huge. All these problems are huge, and some of us are more aware of them than the others, and we have to be compassionate with people wherever they are, you know, and really you know, try to be. It's really hard. You know, there's some folks who really, you know, who like to idolize us and, you know, make us into shamans and all those kinds of crazy stuff. So we have to, try to be compassionate with each other and understanding and realistic, you know, see where we are.
Do you have the same people coming back again and again? Let me ask you first, how many conversations have you had?
Nine. Now we've had nine. And the last one we had was with the folks at L&I, and it was an incredibly successful event on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. We had 65 people there, and you know, some folks from the board, Brian Brewer, and we had the president of the Chamber of Commerce there. I mean, the folks in this community are committed to making change. We don't want to live in racist city, and everyone is continuing to work toward that. And I think that, you know, we're just, you know, us, me and the hosting, you know, I'm on the host team. There's others of us. And, you know, we're just trying to create that space where, you know, where we can figure this out together, where we can create a community together. We've never done that. We've never had that, you know, that place where we could really, you know, be vulnerable with each other and figure stuff out. You know, this is a crisis that America has to deal with, the Great Reckoning, right? I mean, America was founded on genocide and slavery, and yet, we have to acknowledge those things, and then we have to move on and build something. You know, we can't just, you know, let it go up into flames. That's not what Americans do, right?
So what I'm hearing you say too is that the cross-cultural relationships are key to that future. Am I hearing that correctly?
Sure. And education. We all have to be on the same. You know, we all have to have the same level of awareness of each other. We have to learn about treaties. We have to learn about people. How many people in South Dakota can name all the tribes? How many people, you know, do they know that they're Lakotas? Do they know that they're Dakotas? You know, where are our sacred sites? I mean, how many people know those things? We're living next to each other, and we don't know those things, you know? And so we have to, you know, educate ourselves and honor each other, you know, and then we can, you know, move forward and create something. I think, you know, what we're doing here is really creating a place for us to honor each other.
And what do you think it will take to sustain your current efforts, which are clearly building? How do you make that a lasting part of the community?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, we're figuring that out. I think that's a good question. I think, you know, I mean, it'd be nice for us to have some kind of human relations coordinator like that for Rapid City. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice, but, you know, something with teeth. We have to be able to have, you know, have something that people felt, you know, safe going to. Or, I mean, I think that, you know, this stuff, institutional racism, it's a challenge we have as a country and as a community. How are we dealing with that stuff? You know, I mean, I think that, you know, hopefully, you know, we can continue to get more folks involved. We've had a lot of a few city council people, the mayor, we've had a good meeting with him. And, you know, I think that, you know, I don't know. Those are big questions. I think, you know, this is a long conversation. So I think that, you know, we can come back in 6 months and see where we're at and see what we can build together, right? I mean, we want everyone to be able to have opportunity. And look what the kids in Rapid City haven't had that. And So that's something that we really need to deal with, and we're not going to stop until, you know, we make that happen, that we all have that same opportunity, right?
So you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation a sense of humility or a humbling experience, probably some frustration at times. Where do you see is the most hope? Is there an area that you feel, you know, as you're doing your work, truly hopeful?
That the people keep showing up. I mean, that more and more people are saying, you know, this is not that we don't want to live in Racist City. We want to live in a community that reflects, that honors each other. That, I think that, you know, we could do a lot together. We could change the world from Rapid City if we continue in that vein. You know, I mean, I'm hoping that we do, and you know, it just keeps showing up. I mean, that's the hope. That's where it's at. And you know, as an organizer, it's surprising me, and it's scaring me, because it feels like there's something amazing moving in this community, and I don't want to, you know, mess it up or do anything to stop it from happening. But it's, you know, something's happening, and it's you know, we're part of it. There's other groups that are doing their share, and so I think that you know, it's a long conversation. So this is, you know, it's nothing's going to be solved. You know, 125 years ago we had massacres, and we still have a lot of issues about, you know, that we have with sovereignty and those things. And, you know, so.
Chaz, do it. Will you come back in 6 months and give us an update about how these conversations are going?
I sure will. And I sure will.
Thank you
so
very much.
For having me.
Thanks for joining us today.
All right.